Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Small children often learn to say da-da before they say mama. I mean, after all the extra time mom spends with the child nurturing, how come da-da first? Doesn't seem fair. And apparently, da-da is easier sound for a baby to form. Yet calling upon God, our Father, may be difficult. We may think of God as aloof or distant or harsh and frightening. And our sinfulness against our Heavenly Father would have us fear Him, even wish He were distant. But that's not the Father we have. God, our Father, so much desires to be close, intimate with us that He sent His Son to redeem us from our sins. St. Paul writes, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Yeah, Abba, Arabic for Father. But not just any Father. I mean, it's best translated, God, our Father, Father, that baptized, thus adopted, named by Him, you enjoy the constant attention and care of a perfect Father, that you can now pray, our Father. I don't know about you, but sometimes I think the world has gone crazy. Yeah, I know every generation since Adam has said the same thing. How much worse can it get? And every next generation seems to take that on as a challenge. Even using the scriptures there, St. Paul writes, there is neither Jew or Greek, male or female. Now, Paul is pointing out that our Heavenly Father doesn't play favorites. He is no respecter of persons, the scripture says. Fathers don't play favorites. So, if your grandchild comes to you and asks, am I your favorite? You tell them, yes. You tell that to each one. You are each my favorite. Your Heavenly Father, uniquely, specifically to you, loves, cares for you as His favorite. I mean, He makes no distinction, for you are all equal heirs in His kingdom as a dear baptized child, His adopted offspring out of this world. And our Father gives you an identity. I mean, the world will hate to hear this, but your identity is not from you, but whose you are, who you belong to. Your identity is not from your desire or feelings. Your acts do not define you. The Lord gives you an identity at the font. The name of God placed upon you in your baptism. You are no longer your own. You belong to your Father. And you are defined by His word. You are not an old creation, as Paul writes, marked by sin for death, but His new creation. Child of God marked by His grace, that lives and has a future amidst this dead world. And with that passage, no male or female. Now, that was used 130 years ago to promote for the first time in world history women's ordination. And now it's used to promote a genderless sexual lifestyle sins with no boundaries as God-pleasing. Well, while ignoring all the other parts of how God gives the blessing of your created identity, your vocations, duties as male and female, as husband and wife, son or daughter. I mean, Jesus Himself, have you not read that He who created them from the beginning made them male and female? Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two become one flesh. And there's so much more on that. Yet, evil and sin is not just out there. It dwells in each of us. I mean, here's a question, an exercise. I mean, it's not always a good exercise to think, but if you could commit a crime, commit a sin, and have no consequence, no shame, not get caught, not have to pay any price for committing a sin, if you could do anything you want and get away with it, what would you do? I mean, and it's so much more than not paying taxes, right? What might you do? Or take or touch or not pay back? Be honest. Repent. And your Lord's works of a cross to forgive define you. You know, a problem we all underestimate or think that the evil and the demons don't surround us, aren't working against us. Or we would be more fervent in prayer, more on our guard, fight more against temptations, more focused on the things of God. Be here more. I mean, well, what's that Luther's hymn that you like to sing? Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us. Yeah. And Jesus comes upon that satanic horror movie scene in the gospel, right? If you think for one moment what demon Satan did to that poor man isn't what he wants to do to you, to possess you, to drive you, to torment you, to harm you, to destroy you, you are sorely mistaken. This is exactly what he wants to do to you. And the reason he does not, cannot, the only reason, God does not permit him to do so. But that doesn't mean that demon Satan is not active in your life. I mean, Satan will not stop against the Lord's own. He will work against you to doubt this gospel, to look to yourself. The demons even use the things of this world that look good and loving and harmless to destroy your faith, to rob you of your Lord's life in you, to undo the joy of your salvation, to destroy every relationship with someone you love or someone who loves you, working tirelessly against you, and using these things in this world to cause you to be too busy for the things of God. Or you think that this social stuff and entertainment won't hurt you and your children. Yeah. Working to desensitize the world and things in your life. Desensitized to sin. To accept all the immorality and graphic violence and lies and language. You might ask, what would my mother or father think? And they would cover their eyes and their ears. Well, we aren't scandalized. What would your father think? Your heavenly father. And you know what he thinks. Revealed in his very word for you to live by. Yeah, but for us fights the valiant one. He holds the field forever. And though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill, they shall not overpower us. And this world's prince, Satan, may still scowl and fierce as he will. He can harm us none. He's judged. The deed is done. What shall we do in response to all that he has done? Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. That's what Christ said to the man held captive by his demons so long ago and set free from the power of Christ. And this is what you hear every Sunday. Depart in peace. The peace of Christ is yours amidst your warfare. Demons cannot harm you. You are surrounded by evil, insanity, afflictions, a world gone crazy, yet it will not prevail over you. You are His. You enjoy the company of angels. You are holy. You have a new life to live. Life, not on what you have or what you were, what you've done or think or what you feel, but a new creation, who you are in Christ. Life that you now live in Him. In the name of Jesus, amen.